Father, today we come to your house. We come into this place to worship you and to lift praises. It's a reminder of that time when you came into history to save us from our sins. Today, Lord, we celebrate that. We pray that we will share that with all that we meet. Lord, as we go through this Christmas time, may we be your messengers to share the good news. We love you. We thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
On this fourth Sunday of Advent, as we think about the coming of Jesus Christ, we will light the candle of love. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. This is how God showed us his love. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. John 13, 34-35. As we look back and light the candles of hope, peace, joy, and now love.
Well, good morning. Good to see all of you here today. Good to be with you to worship the Lord. And if you remember, if you were here the last several weeks, I had started a series of messages called Dollars and Cents. And one of the reasons I did that is leading into Christmas is because we can spend almost all of our dollars and all of our cents during this season, right? Between November and Christmas Day. And I thought, we now have a biblical perspective on what God's Word says about money. Because we have a tendency during this time of the year, because we all have good hearts, right? And we want to bless people. So we tend to spend money we don't have on things that people don't need for some people who we don't even like. And we just watch our money fly away and wonder, why did I do that? So today in this series of messages, going to end this series today called Dollars and Cents, I want us to look at where it's best to invest. Now, if you have your outlines, your bulletins, you can find the outline there. It should also be up on the screen. You can follow along as we go through this. Now, look at these verses in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Jesus says we're supposed to store up treasures in heaven. What does he mean by that? How do you invest in eternity? And this is a very important topic, so much so that it's found five times in Scripture that we're supposed to store for ourselves treasures up in heaven. And notice he says, store up for yourselves. The Bible says that you can have a personal bank account in heaven. Here's what he's saying. You can fill these in. He says, I will enjoy in heaven whatever I invest in heaven. Because what we invest in heaven is going to last forever. Paul wrote this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. He said, "Tell those who are rich not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which will soon be gone, but their pride and trust should be in the living God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good." So we invest in heaven every time we use our money for good. So the question is, how do we do that? So I want to look today at different giving funds that God has in which we can invest, not just for down here, but for all eternity. We're going to look at God's five investment funds. Number one, God's growth fund. It says this, "I can invest in eternity by using money to grow my character." Anybody here who has character that can be improved just a little bit? Just a little bit? God's Growth Fund says, hey, use money to improve my character. Proverbs 10, verse 16 says this, the earnings of the godly enhance their lives, but evil people squander their money on sin. Godly people, he says, wise people use their money to make their lives better, to enhance their lives, as opposed to evil people who just simply waste their money for no reason, no purpose. Now, you and I both know that there are zillions of ways to waste money. For instance, designer baby clothes. They're going to spit up on it less than an hour after you put it on. Designer baby clothes, also known as glorified stain gatherers. On top of that, they're going to grow out of this thing quick. But people spend big money on designer clothes. I'm not making this up. I've seen this on the internet. And we know everything on the internet's true. Somebody has put together designer toilet paper. A mere $50 for a 3-pack, 10 bucks a roll. You gotta be kidding me. People buy this. I've also seen a designer frisbee. I don't get it. Now, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I read some things about Starbucks you should be interested in. Anybody here ever been to Starbucks? Anybody drink Starbucks? I've only been in Starbucks twice, and I've never tasted any of their food or drink. I'm not a big coffee guy, not at 10 bucks a pop. I know you can get the cheap ones for $4.50. I read this. Somebody did the stats. They said if you buy one $4 latte each day, that coffee habit will set you back $28 a week, $120 a month, $1,460 per year. Keep that up for 5 years. You'll have slurped away $7,300, not including any money you would have made if you had that money in investment funds and gotten some good interest back. In all basic accountability here, you could have lost up to $9,300. You didn't lose it, you drank it. $9,300. In 10 years, Starbucks might have cost you a car. After 30 years with investments coming back, you'd have $239,891 that could have bought a house, not in today's market, but it could have been a really good down payment. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. Drink all the Starbucks you want, but just remember, your money is going there. I saw on Amazon, I kid you not, a 16.9-ounce bottle of perfume. Why do we have 16.9 ounces? Why didn't they just go to 17? What? I don't get that. 16.9-ounce bottle of perfume for $435,000 that was purchased. They have stuff on there now that's more expensive. But how do we enhance ourselves, literally? How do we allow God to use our money to make us grow spiritually and intellectually and emotionally and personally? How do we do that? Look what Proverbs 23:23 says. Invest in truth and wisdom, discipline and good sense, and don't part with them. The Message paraphrase puts it this way: buy wisdom, buy education, buy insight, and allow God to use that to bless you and to grow you and to make you more into the person that He wants you to be. Proverbs 16:16 puts it this way: it is much better to have wisdom and knowledge than gold and silver. It's better for you to take the money you have and put some of that into your own growth. in all of these ways. Number two, God's mutual fund. God's mutual fund says, I can invest in eternity by using money to encourage fellowship. To encourage fellowship. When you use your money to draw other people and yourself closer to God in the Christian faith growing, the Bible says that's God's mutual fund. People mutually benefit from it. Proverbs 12, verse 10. Love one another with mutual affection. We're to love each other in that way. Romans 12, 13. Share what you have with God's people who are in need. Show hospitality. Did you know that when you spend money on hospitality with other Christians, God says it's like storing money up in the bank of heaven? You're not wasting that money. You're storing it up. You're investing it in other people who are believers, and you have fellowship together. Someone in college told me the definition he liked for the word fellowship. Two fellas in the same ship. That's how it is with Christians. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we're in the same ship. We're in the same family. We're in the same boat. And so we should do our best to encourage and help each other, even with our finances. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says this. Think of ways to encourage one another with outbursts of love and good deeds. I love the way that's phrased. Find a way to help each other with outbursts of love and good deeds. You ever been in some churches that had outbursts, but they weren't loving and they were nothing to do with good deeds? You ever been there? I've been a pastor for a long time. I've been there a few times. I'm glad by God's grace we don't do that here. We have genuine outbursts of love and care and concern and help for each other here, not only here, but outside the doors as well. In this second mutual fund, anytime we help believers, we use our money, our resources to help and show love to others, it's going to grow God's mutual fund for us. When you buy a gift for a friend, or you buy a card for someone, or you provide a meal for someone who is sick, or you pay for a meal that someone you know may not be able to afford it, when you pay for a babysitter for someone in your small group who wants to go out on a date with his wife and hasn't been able to for years, you're showing love to them, mutual love and care. When you open up your home and it costs you money because there you have your small group, and God says, I'm going to bless you for that. When people do that for Disciple Now, open up their homes, get all these teenagers in their homes, and it costs them, that's mutual fellowship, building up your mutual fund. First, God says, I want you to invest in the growth fund for yourself. Then I want you to invest in the mutual fund for you and others. And number three, God's service fund. I can invest in eternity by using money to serve others. God wants me to take some of the money He gives me to help people who are in need. The Bible calls this kind of giving ministry, meeting the needs of others in the name of Christ. When you give in that way, it's ministry to someone else. Look what Ecclesiastes chapter 11 says in the first couple of verses. Be generous. Invest in acts of charity. Charity yields high returns. Don't hoard your goods. Spread them around. Be a blessing to others. This could be your last night. Well, that last phrase right there is kind of sobering, isn't it? Because we don't know. This could be our last night. So we need to be doing all the good we can to others while we're here. He's basically saying, you need to know where your things are going, so do it now. God wants us to share the blessings He gives us with others. So how does God want you to share your finances? How does God want you to invest now, invest in heaven by meeting other people's needs? When you serve others, you are investing in God's service fund. Look at this last verse for this point in Proverbs 19, verse 17. When you give to the poor, it's like lending to the Lord, and He will pay you back. This is kind of an interesting verse. When we help people who need help, those who are poor, and we have the money to help them, it's like we're lending money to God. Does God need our money? Pretty sure He doesn't. But it's like lending money to God, and then He says, hey, dude, and God's going to pay you back. You ever heard those words before when you lent money? I'll pay you back, I'll pay you back. And maybe you didn't get paid back. I worked at a printing shop when I went to Bluefield College in Bluefield, Virginia. And I had to work when I was in college. And so I had a couple of jobs. One of them was to work at a printing shop. A guy named Bill was the owner. Nice enough guy. And I was really naive at that time. I didn't know much about life or, you know, business. I just didn't know. And so he hired me, and I was a good worker. I worked. Every minute I was on the job, I worked hard. I was good, and he just loved it. And so I came to work one day, and his doors were locked. I thought, that's strange. He must have taken a day off. I came back the next day, and his doors were locked. Lo and behold, I found out that he had filed for bankruptcy, and he was gone, just over, whatever. And he owed me $50. Now, back in that day, as a college student, $50 was big money. I saw him somehow, I don't know how I ran into him, on the outside there in Bluefield. And he said, oh, yeah, I know I owe you $50. He said, I'm going to get that to you. And I was still naive, and I thought, yes, he's going to get that to me. He still owes me $50. God's not like that. You do what God calls you to do, He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of us anyhow. But when you're walking in His will and you're sharing in His ways and you're giving to others who need it, He will pay you back. It may be riches that you get in heaven one day. That's why we invest for there. Number four, God's global fund. I can invest in eternity by using money to bring people to God. I invest in eternity to use my money, my resources, to bring people to God. God wants us to use some of our resources, some of our money, to take the good news locally and literally around the world, because there are billions of people who don't know Jesus yet. And while I can't minister and do with the billions, I can do some people next to me, around me, and so can you. Look at Luke 16, verse 9. Jesus said, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. In other words, invest in getting people into heaven so that when you get there, they're going to welcome you. Can you imagine getting to heaven and having people come up to you and say, I want to thank you because I'm here in part because of what you did. You bought a Bible, and that was given to me in some other country, and I got saved. You bought small group material, and I watched it, and I studied it, and I came to know Christ as my Savior. You sponsored someone for Disciple Now, and they got saved. You packed an Operation Christmas Child box, and it got sent to places we never even heard of, and people got saved. Maybe you had the opportunity to simply talk somebody to somebody one-on-one and lead them to Christ, and they got saved because of how you were using your resources. We're in the midst now of wrapping today Christmas presents for local people here on James Island to give them not only the gift, a physical Christmas gift, but to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. Someday, someone's going to come up to you in heaven and simply say thank you. And you're going to go to people and say thank you. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:13. He said, "You honor God through this genuine act of service in your commitment to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Through what? Your generosity in sharing." Paul says, how do you honor God here? You do so through an act of service globally to people all around us, not only next to us, but far away from us. One way you can invest this fund is simply by inviting someone to church. Now, the two easiest times for any person, non-believer or believer who's backslidden, they'll come to two services. We talked about this before. They'll come to Easter, and they'll come to a Christmas Eve service. So just invite them. We still have the cards. Where's John? We still have the cards out there? Just use the cards. Just hand them to somebody. Invite somebody. And number five, God's treasury fund. I can invest in eternity by using money to worship God. When I give my money as an act of worship, that's called the treasury fund. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of all your income, and He will fill your barns and overflow your barrels. And that's a promise. God says, give to me, and I'll give, and let's see who wins. Now, I've talked to you about this in this series about tithing, when you give 10% of your income back to God through the local church. And if you're with us today and you're not part of our church, or listen, some of these principles here apply to people who are Christians, believers, church members. I don't want you to think we're asking you to give. If you're our guest today, we don't expect you to give. We don't ask you to give. You're welcome to if you want to, but most of this I'm sharing now applies to people who are already a part of the church. So we talked about tithing, giving 10% of your income back to God. And God says, I will bless that. Look at what Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is why God wants us to give offerings to Him, because our money goes where our heart goes. That's why we give to God, and our heart will follow. For instance, I don't really care anything about Microsoft. I like their software, at least some of it. But otherwise, I don't have a vested interest in them. But if I really did care about Microsoft, I would go buy some stock in Microsoft. Because the moment I bought stock, my level of care would rise up. Same thing, let's just pick on Kentucky Fried Chicken. Oh, yeah. I kind of do care about Kentucky Fried Chicken. To me, it's some of the best chicken ever. But if I really wanted to care about Kentucky Fried Chicken, I'd buy some stock and then I'd get you all to buy more chicken. Help me out. Wherever we put our money shows our priorities. It shows our values. So we need to ask ourselves from time to time, where's my heart? Where are my values? Where are my priorities? It's one thing to say this is important to me. It's another thing to live a life out that shows that's really important to you. I've said this previously. Look at your checkbook. Look at your calendar. And that will show you what's really important. You may say this is important, but if your checkbook and your calendar say otherwise, that's not really important. And you can apply that to your walk with God. If you want your heart to be with God, then one of the things you need to do is to invest through your tithes and your offerings. Remember, folks, we're talking about an eternity with God. Not just something that's down here. Let me ask you a question. What do Eldridge Gerry, Daniel Tompkins, Richard Johnson, George Dallas, and William King have in common? They were all vice presidents of the United States of America. And nobody here even probably has heard of their names. We sure don't remember them. That's why we shouldn't spend our lives striving for positions, possessions, or prestige. They fade away. They're gone in an instant. Will you be remembered for? The greatest investments you can make have nothing to do with Wall Street. They have to do with people. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that he lay his life down for his friend. The best way to invest your life, folks, or to invest it in people. The best way to invest your funds are to invest it in people, including yourself. And we need to do that now because time keeps ticking away. In professional Major League Baseball, the baseball they use is 9 to 9 1/4 inches round. It weighs 5 to 5 1/4 ounces. It has 108 hand-stitched stitches in it. And it also has mud from the New Jersey side of the Delaware River that's given to the umpires to rub it into that baseball. That's the only mud they use. That's a lot of work for a ball. Especially when you think about this, that the average lifespan of a Major League Baseball in any given game is 7 pitches. 7 pitches and it's gone. It's been fouled off. It's hit the dirt. You need to get rid of it. It's gone. 7 pitches. 7. We probably all reach a point in our lives where we feel like, wow, we're maybe at our 4th, 5th, maybe we're at our 6th pitch. Just a little bit longer to go. What are you going to invest in? So by the time you get down to your 7th pitch, you feel good about what you've done with what God has given you and how you've invested that in other people, in yourself, in God's kingdom, in His work. It may mean a little bit of rearranging some priorities. I heard about a guy who died and went to heaven, and he was looking at all his friends, and they had incredibly wonderful mansions in heaven. They were taking him to his place, and they took him to this little one-room condo shack. And he said, hey, how come I got stuck with such a small shack? They said, it's because of all the material you sent on ahead. That's all we could build. What are you sending ahead? Invest in God's work. What's this got to do with Christmas time? What a better time. What a better time to find someone or some folks, maybe in your family, maybe people you don't know, somewhere in the middle. What a better time to be people-centered with God's purpose and vision for people's lives and to say, I'm going to be a part of that now, and I'm going to be a part of that when Christmas is over, and I'm going to be a part of that for the rest of my life. Actively involved. It's not too late. We have today. It's my prayer that everyone here, myself included, would rethink that, process it, allow God's Spirit to speak to us through it, and then to say, all right, God, how's my response to you supposed to be? What's it supposed to be for me on this day? And then choose what it is God wants you to do. All right, let's pray together. God, we think about all the ways that you have blessed us in life. We think about one of the greatest, probably the most, the gift we're most grateful for at Christmas time, and that is the fact that it indicated you sent your Son to us. You cared enough about us. You invested in us through your Son because you want us to know you, to love you, to walk with you, and to share your goodness with others. And Jesus, I want to thank you that you were willing to lay your glory aside in heaven and to come down to be born as a man, a human being, to go through the times of blessing, but also the times of struggle in life that you went through. And Holy Spirit, I'm glad that you've been left behind to bring people to know about Jesus and to bless our lives and to grow us and to teach us. And I ask, God, that you'd use us to use the little bit of time we have left down here to make a difference in people's lives, to make a difference in our lives, to lead people to Jesus, tell them about the good news, as well as to minister to them and to meet the needs they have in the name of Christ. So God, maybe this is part of the Christmas gift we can give to you and just say, God, I'm just going to renew my commitment to you. I want to renew my love for you. I want to renew the fact that I want to be involved again in the ways we talked about today in reaching people for Jesus. Father, during this time of response, I pray, Lord, that you will bless, change us. We love you and thank you for your love for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to whatever it is that God's been doing in your life, whether it's something he this morning has blessed you with or challenged you with, or something that's been happening in your life this week, this month, this year. The way we do that, I'm going to be down front here. I'll be glad to talk with you and pray with you if you want that. You can fill out the Connect card on the back. It gives you a place to write prayer requests or to check off some commitments. You can put those in the white boxes, the offering boxes around the church. If you'd like to share in communion today, we have the communion stations at front and in the back as well. You can do that. You want to go over to the cross, and there's a place there on the cross. You can put a praise, or you can put a prayer request or a burden. You can write it down on that piece of paper over there, just fold it in half and pin it to the cross. No one looks at that. That's between you and God. So we want you to do what God wants you to do. Some of you may want to stay where you are. You may want to pray and sing. You may just want to think, meditate. Do that now as the band leads us in this response song. Jason?
Jason, I'm going to take a little chance here. Is that okay?
Oh,
boy, here we go. You know, Kevin's a big Tennessee fan. This has been a great weekend for my family. My son got married yesterday out on Keo Island. We had to search high and low to find somebody that could come out and do this wedding, and we found a guy in Lexington, Kentucky, a mortal enemy of Tennessee, I'm sure. But my brother's, come on up here, Carl. I want you to do our closing prayer for us. This is my brother. Many of you have heard him on our Facebook Live thing. He makes comments that just shred everything we say. You know, it's just exciting. So if you'll close us out in our prayer, would that be okay, Kevin?
It would be, especially because I finally
found out who the good-looking one is. Okay. I'm going to pray now. And pray. This is just...
All right. Let's pray together. Lord, we are grateful for your presence in this place and in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that during this time of year, we remember that you came to be one of us so that you might save us. Lord, in this season, I pray that you would draw our families closer together, that you'd bind up any wounds that we have in our hearts and in our homes, that you'd strengthen us for the days ahead, for there are so many wandering in darkness who need the light. Shine through us, we pray. Thank you for this hour of worship. We've heard your word proclaimed. These are precious words that our lives should rally to and live by. Help us to be faithful servants and to invest in those areas that would bring glory to you and enhance your kingdom and enhance our lives and the lives of others. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that you've enhanced our lives through the giving of your Son. It's in his name that we pray, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, Amen.